Well, welcome, folks, to my Travel Time podcast. Today, I'm with Debbie Blakey. Debbie is the CEO of HESTA, a industry super fund. I met Debbie probably half a dozen years ago as a participant on one of my programs, and recently she's invited me to come in and do some work with her and her executive. So welcome, Debbie.
Thank you.
I wonder if you could tell us a little bit about HESTA.
Yeah. Well, HESTA, as you say, an industry fund, and we are the Fund for Health and Community Services across Australia. We're a truly national fund. We have an office in every state and territory across Australia, over 800,000 members and over 34 billion in funds under management. Something that's a little bit different for us is that over 80% of our members are women. So we are very passionate about providing for the retirement savings of women.
Fantastic. Good on you. And can you tell me a little bit about your own background and how you got into this role? I think when you first came on the program with me, you were a general manager, and then you became deputy, and now you're CEO.
Absolutely. Yeah, and I've been very, very fortunate with my career. So, look, you probably hear a bit of an accent. I started out my career in South Africa, and straight from uni, I went and worked for consulting actuaries and just did some amazing work, some very exciting work. A lot of it actually around closing very small but traditional defined benefit funds and converting them to defined contribution funds. Had two children and then launched my own consulting business, and I did that for 12 years in South Africa, which really was an incredible grounding because I just did so many different things. I mean, it really was, you know, if it was going to happen, it was up to me. And I think I learned a lot about a lot of different things about financial services.
Yes.
Came to Australia, so I sold my business and we moved to Australia in 2000. And I thought I would take 2 years off. I'd been very busy the last few years in South Africa. I thought I would take 2 years off. I lasted 1 year. And then, of course, I was thinking I need to do more than this. I had two teenage children at home. Maybe that was part of it. There was a part-time business development role for an industry super fund. And actually, I didn't even know what an industry super fund was at that stage. Very fortunate to get the role, and I set up the Victorian office for a small industry fund that was head office in Adelaide. And really, to be honest, I haven't looked back. I just, within 6 months, I think I was just absolutely passionate about industry funds. I think they are amazing what they've achieved for Australian workers, and just such an incredible environment to work. And of course, because many of the leadership things that we have done in industry funds have made them very exciting places to work.
Yeah. And one of the things that I've been reading in the media about you recently is that you've been leading a bit of a push about female savings in superannuation. Want to tell us a bit about that?
Yeah, I'd love to. You know, the compulsory super environment in Australia is amazing, and I think we must never forget. It just is incredible. What was set up for, you know, ordinary Australians to have access to super. And if you look at some of the stats, you know, in 1985, only 24% of Australian women had super. It was, you know, it was a voluntary system, predominantly male, so only 24% of women were covered. By 93, 78% of women had super. So enormous work done with compulsory super. But there's more to be done. And, you know, there is a gap. There is a gap in the retirement savings. And it's very interesting if you look at what causes the gap. And the size of the gap. So the wage gap between males and females is about 18%. But the way that exacerbates into the super gap in retirement savings at retirement is about 46%. So, you know, women really, I mean, their balances at retirement are about half of their male counterparts. And so, you know, there are a few reasons for that. And it's obviously, it's to do with work patterns. You know, women often have breaks in service, they often work part-time. Those are just things that we need to accept and work around. And we're very passionate about some equity considerations that could be looked at, policy changes, you know, systemic change to how
super works. What could be done?
Well, you know, the first one is the low-income super contribution. So at the moment, for anyone who earns less than $37,000, they basically get their tax rebated. So the tax that is paid on their contributions that go into super is rebated as a contribution back to their super. Now, that is an incredible measure because, of course, earning less than $37,000, a lot of that of those people are women. So, and that measure is meant to be going, it's meant to be removed in 2017, and part of the government's budget proposals in May was to actually keep that. So all of this debate about the changes to super and, you know, the caps for high income earners, the reason the government's doing that is to try and keep these equity measures for those who are on lower incomes.
Yes.
And, you know, obviously we're very passionate about that.
Fantastic. And in terms of the superannuation industry generally and industry funds, where do you see it going?
Yeah, look, we're in a very strong position,
and
maybe speaking more specifically about HESTA. So, you know, we have, so 29 years we've been going. We have done some really important things along that journey, the way we've invested. Industry funds invested a lot in unlisted assets, much earlier than they were sort of considered fashionable.
Yeah, right.
We invested in infrastructure and things like that that have really set us up very well. I think also the coverage that we have across Australia means we have very strong cash flow.
Mm.
And as an asset owner, as an investor, you know, having very strong cash flow puts us in a very strong position in terms of investing. So the things that we feel are really important and that will play out in the next few years, part of that is being a responsible investor. And, you know, the way we invest on behalf of our members.
Yes.
Very interesting, because we represent workers in health and community services, they're often passionate about these things. They want us to take into account the environment, social impacts, governance. These things mean a lot to our members.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we do see ourselves as a leading fund in that area, and quite honestly, very excited that we're, you know, we're not only influencing how we invest today, but super's a long-term investment, and, you know, 30, 40, 50 years. So we want to invest today in such a way as to have a sustainable positive impact over those 30, 40, 50 years. And that's a very exciting piece of work.
Yeah, fantastic. So on this very exciting journey you've been on, what have been some of your key lessons or learnings about leadership?
I think probably the biggest one is around authenticity for me. I think it's interesting when you're a new leader, a young leader, you know, you speak about me being becoming deputy CEO and then CEO at HESTA. So I was deputy for 3.5 years and then became CEO only 18 months ago. And it's interesting as a leader to find your style and to find your voice. And I think a key learning for me is obviously you aspire to being the kind of leader you want to be, but also being really authentic to who I am. And that's probably been a bit of a journey. I think there was a time in my leadership where there was a view of how I should be, whereas now I feel very much I want to also be in tune with who I am and authentic to the person I am in the way that I lead others.
Yeah, fantastic. Lovely. Good on you. Well, listen, thank you very much for making yourself available, and all the best.